Well, good morning, Grace people. Good to be with you here in the room. It's also a greeting to those of you who are watching online. Maybe it's your first time connecting with us. Maybe you've been connecting with us for years. Either way, we're glad to be together in this way, both in the room and virtually. Well, before I get started, I'm going to invite you to get your Bibles out. If you brought a Bible with you, that's wonderful. If you get it on a pad or on your phone or something like that, that's all great. But if you need a Bible, we would love to provide one for you today. Our ushers are standing by. You just got to raise your hand. We're happy to bring a Bible to you that you can use to follow along with this morning. And if you don't have a Bible for any reason, you do now. You can take that Bible with you and let it be that there for you as a gift from our congregation to you. Well, we are getting started this fall on a sermon series. It's good to see you, little girl. Good morning. Good morning. She's excited to be a part of this. That's awesome. I'll preach it this morning. Come on now. But we are getting started this fall on a sermon series entitled The Way of Jesus. And there are some terms that we've been using repeatedly throughout this series, and you've probably been hearing them repeatedly over the last months, years. And the terms are disciple and discipleship. Disciple and discipleship. Well, what do these words mean? Well, a disciple simply means one who follows. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor, don't you mean one who follows Jesus? No, actually not. The word disciple actually predates Jesus. That was a term used for those who had a rabbi that they were following. There was a rabbi who was the teacher, and he would call, or they would find him and follow him as a disciple of that rabbi. John the Baptist was called that. He was called a rabbi. He had disciples of his own. That's just part of that life in doing that and having followers who follow you that way. Now, they're also consistent with being people of the way. People of the way. We're called people of the way. That was actually the earliest term that was used for Christians, for followers of Jesus. They were called people of the way. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life. And before those early followers were called Christians, they were called people of the way. So we're talking about the way of following Jesus as his disciples. So if a disciple is one who follows, then what is discipleship? Well, discipleship is a made-up word. Let's start there. Discipleship's a made-up word, okay? Now, like many made-up words, it's probably in the dictionary now. It's probably made its way into the dictionary, as eventually every word kind of does when it comes into common usage. But originally, it's a made-up word, discipleship. What does it mean? Well, it means the process of becoming a disciple. Discipleship is that process by which you become a disciple of Jesus. So if a disciple is one who follows, and discipleship is the process of becoming a disciple, I have an important question for you this morning. Who or what are you following? Who or what are you following? Before you answer that question, let me simply say this. Everyone is following someone or something. Everyone is following someone or something, which means we are all disciples. We are all disciples. Whether it's a mentor, a teacher, the media, culture, a celebrity, or a social media influencer, everyone is following someone or something. You are not a free agent. You're not a free agent. It's easy for people to get into that mindset, though. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm independent. I'm objective. Nothing really holds an influence over me. Yeah, right. Come on. All of us must confess that there are influences around us, some that we don't even recognize. And there are people we look up to and admire, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a not so good way, that influence and become discipleship in our lives. Every one of us is following somebody, and you are not a free agent. Now, of course, our hope here at Community of Grace is that each of us would recognize who or what we are following, the way they are leading us, and who we are becoming because of it. This is discipleship. And before I continue this morning, I just want to take a moment for us to pray. Just for us to listen to the Holy Spirit and have him do the work in us as we listen to God's word together today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us together today. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be our Lord and Savior. Thank you for sending your word. Thank you for speaking to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for being the living word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive what you are sharing with us today. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, open them up to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. It's on page 1554 in the Bibles that we provide here, but otherwise just open up to the book of Acts. It follows right after the four Gospels. Acts chapter 4, and we're in the same chapter that Dan Lugo actually shared a story from last week. He shared the story of Peter and John, two disciples who were really out on the first mission trip. And in this first mission trip, they came upon a man who needed healing. And in Jesus' name, they spoke and the man was healed. A miracle, amazing. But there's even more to the story as the story continues on. It picks up in verse 5, and I'm going to invite you to follow along with me as I read from Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want to emphasize those last few words. Unschooled, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. You don't become a disciple just by taking a class. Now, is it good to be educated? Is it good to learn some things? Can you take classes about Jesus, about Christianity? Of course you can. It'd be very beneficial to learn these things. But you don't become a disciple by taking a class. Let me give you an example in my own life. Last week, Dan pointed out a few things about our culture here up in the Midwest, mentioning that there are some folks up here who come from Northern European heritage. I am one of those people. I am a Norwegian, a proud Norwegian, a long lineage in my family. Skål, ja, you sure, you betcha. As a matter of fact, these roots go so deep in my family that when I was in college, I chose to take Norwegian as a second language. Yes, at the University of Minnesota, they still offered a course in Norwegian when I was there. I don't think they do anymore, but they did back then. I took two full college semesters of Norwegian. Intense. By halfway through the second semester, the teacher didn't even speak English in the classroom anymore. It was all Norwegian all the time. I got through it somehow. I won't tell you what my grades were like. But by the time I was done, I could read Norwegian pretty well. I could understand it pretty well. I could speak it to a degree. Kind of that simple early stage of learning Norwegian. That was 30 plus years ago. Today, not so much. I can remember a few phrases. Mange takk means many thanks. Vær så god means you're welcome. Hvordan står det til? It means how you doing. That's about it. It's not going to get me very far if I had to go and be in Norway right now. I haven't retained it because I haven't been practicing it. Sure, I took the classes. I studied. But I don't have it now because I didn't put it into practice. Contrast that against my father. My father, Vernon Vick, was raised by first-generation immigrants from Norway. So his mother and father spoke fluent Norwegian and were learning English as a second language. And they insisted that my father learn English first, but anytime they had something that they wanted to say to each other that they didn't want my dad to understand, they spoke Norwegian. Some of you have history stories like that, right? Yes, yep, when grandma and grandpa would speak Norwegian or would speak German or something so that the kids didn't understand. Well, my father eventually started to catch and pick up some of this Norwegian, but then when he was 13 years old, he spent a full summer in Norway, over 3 months, with our relatives there. Every day, immersed in the culture, immersed in the language. My father could speak fluent Norwegian until the day he died. He could hold a conversation. He was a translator for us on a couple of trips that we took. It was there because he had been immersed in it. And he still found ways to practice it with his relatives and with others who spoke the same language. It's a big difference between taking a class and being immersed in something. It's an immersion process to become a lifelong disciple. And it's a lifelong process. Martin Luther said it this way: we are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not finished, but it is going on. There's this understanding that it's a process of becoming a follower of Jesus. Disciple and discipleship. We are disciples, but we are in discipleship, meaning we're still becoming disciples. We are becoming that which we already are. It's a mystery how this works, but it's true for every one of us. Now, there's another helpful term that helps us understand this discipleship thing, and it's the term apprenticeship. Now, apprenticeship is not a made-up word. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that discipleship came after apprenticeship because apprenticeship is really what we're talking about when we're talking about the process. Apprenticeship is a term that comes from the trade industry, from trades. Maybe you have heard someone who was described as a master electrician or a master carpenter. They didn't just write in and get a certificate mailed out to them that called them master carpenter. They went through an apprenticeship. They served as an apprentice under a master electrician. They went through a deliberate process, beginning as an apprentice. Now, a simplified version of apprenticeship sounds like this. The first step is this. I do, you watch. If I'm the master and you're the apprentice, I do and you watch. Okay? That master electrician is there working on the board. He brings in the apprentice and he says, stand behind me. Just look over my shoulder. Watch what I'm doing. I'll explain what I'm doing as I'm going along. But just watch. Observe what I am doing and how I do it. Then the next step is, I do, you help. I do, you help. This is when the master brings that apprentice in a little bit closer. He says, okay, now you've been watching what I've been doing. Now I'm going to do these things, but I'm going to ask you to help a little bit. I'm going to ask you, once you see something that I've done that you're familiar with, I want you to step in. I want you to do it. And I'll be right here. I'm going to do most of it, but I'm going to ask you to help me so that you can learn this too. And then the next step is, you do, I help. That's when they switch roles. That's when the apprentice sits in front and has the tools and has the project in front of them, and the master is right next to them, helping. And now you're getting your fingers dirty. I mean, you're in there doing the stuff, and you've got the master right here, which is really good, because you're like, if I cross these two wires, am I going to burn the house down? I just want to, just let me know. Stop me before I get there. And the master of course is right there to go, nope, slow down. Do you remember how I taught you? Do you remember how you saw me do it? Maybe I need to show you one more time, but let's do that. But you do it. I'm just here to help. And then the final step, of course, is you do, I watch. This is when the master takes another step back, watches over the shoulder, maybe gives an occasional word of advice, but is just there to observe because the apprentice has started to come into their own. They've started to learn. They've started to be able to apply the things that they've learned and go to work. And now afterwards, the master just sits with them and says, okay, how did that go? Do you have any questions? Here's some things I saw. Maybe they start to ask you, why did you do it that particular way and not this way? And then the cycle repeats, because eventually the apprentice, after they keep doing it for a long period of time, they become a master electrician. And they have to do the same thing for the next apprentice who comes along. This is the way an apprentice becomes a master, and it's not entirely different from the way in which Jesus makes apprentices and disciples and how he did it in his earthly ministry. It's the way that discipleship has been passed along and the faith has been passed along for generations. And I must confess, I think in some ways we've gotten too far away from this model. We've gotten too comfortable with coming on Sundays to a seminar where a professionally trained speaker stands in front of you and teaches and lectures you, and you take down some notes and go, yeah, that's good. You go home, maybe you look at it again, maybe you stuff those notes in a backpack and you just go on living your life. That's not the way the faith gets transmitted. Faith is life on life. Faith is watching and seeing, learning. And it's most effective when you look at the master who's training you and you recognize that that one has been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Now, there's some differences, of course, between earthly masters and apprentices. Jesus points out these differences in Matthew chapter 10 when he says, verse 24 and 25, the student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. We become like Christ-likeness. It's something we see, it's something we hear, it's something we participate in. But we never grow past Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's really, really dangerous if you think that you've grown past Jesus, or that you've outsmarted Jesus, or that you know something better than Jesus did or does. But this is the process. And folks, the ultimate purpose of your life is to become more and more like Jesus and to share this life with others so they can become followers of Jesus too. This is the pattern. Dallas Willard, who passed away a few years ago, was an author and spiritual guide in many ways and taught out at Fuller Theological Seminary. He said this in describing discipleship. He said, discipleship is learning from Jesus how to live your life as he would live it if he were you. Let me say that again. Discipleship is learning from Jesus how to live your life as he would live it if he were you. I love that because it should bring up in you the question that it brings up in me, which is, why on earth would Jesus want to live my life? I mean, doesn't he know who I am? Yes, he does. It's why he's committed to walking with you, being on a journey with you. He wants you to be immersed in the language of Jesus, the way he sees, loves, serves, teaches, so that we know, trust, imitate, and speak Jesus. It's a lifelong process of being immersed. We want to be immersed in the language of Jesus until we pick up his accent. Until we pick up his accent. Y'all know what an accent is, right? I've lived in Minnesota my whole life. I'm so glad that I don't have any kind of an accent at all here in Minnesota. Yeah, ba-boom. Of course, it's an accent. So here's the question. When people listen to your life, what accent do they hear? When they listen to your life, what accent do they hear? Does it sound like the accent of our culture? Anger, politics, consumerism, violence? Or the accent of Christ? Humility, love, obedience, and courage. If it sounds more like culture than Christ, I have bad news for you. That is not the way of a disciple of Jesus, and you need to repent. You need to repent. Now, repentance means just turning back to Jesus. It's turning back to the Master and saying, Lord, I've been doing this. I've been doing it wrong. I've failed you. I've sinned against you. I've done it wrong intentionally, unintentionally. Lord, I turn back to you. Help me. Forgive me. And he does. And he is right there to do that. And you know what? It's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily, moment-by-moment repentance. And I need this as much as anyone. There are certainly times where I do not sound like Jesus or have his accent. Should have been in my house this last week when my laptop computer stopped working right. My family did not see the most Christ-likeness coming from their father. And believe me, I had to apologize to them. But we apologize not only to those around us. We come before Jesus and we say, Jesus, help us. Forgive me and help me turn and keep following you as a disciple, as you apprentice me as the master. So we need to repent. But I also have good news for you. There is a better way. It is not an easy way, but it is the best way. And I have even more good news for you. It doesn't all depend on you. Say out loud, it doesn't all depend on me. Oh, say it one more time like you mean it. Doesn't all depend on me. Yes, it doesn't. It doesn't all depend on you. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us fluent in the language of Christ. His power at work in us is what forms and transforms us into Christ-likeness. We don't do this in our own power and in our own strength. And if you think you are too old to pick up a new language, hey, the Holy Spirit is ageless, and so is your spirit. Your spirit is eternal, and Jesus can do that work in you, whether you're 5 or 50 or 100. It doesn't matter. He does that work, and he's ready to take you right where you are right now and lead you each day of your life through the power of the Holy Spirit being formed and transformed into the image of Jesus. Well, next week, Pastor Angie is going to introduce us to some of the key practices that appear in Jesus' life, which are meant to position ourselves for the Holy Spirit to do his transforming work. Let me say that again, because it's really important you get this. We're going to be introduced to some of the key practices that appear in Jesus' life, which are meant to help us position ourselves for the Holy Spirit to do his transforming work. We don't form ourselves. We position ourselves to be formed by the Spirit doing his work within us. Folks, this is good news. Again, it's good news. The Holy Spirit desires to shape you and craft you. And these practices historically have been referred to as disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. Now, you hear the word discipline and you go, oh, I know I do. Oh. But discipline is just from the same root that disciple comes from. It's a process. It's a practice. It's a way of living. And this practice doesn't make you more holy. These practices don't make God love you more. These practices don't earn you merit badges with Jesus. All they do is show us how Jesus lived in ways that he modeled for us, so that by practicing those similar things, practicing them, we put ourselves in position for the Holy Spirit to do the work that only he can do in us. These are the ways of the Master who is calling you to become his apprentice. It's the way of Jesus. So who or what are you following? And are you willing to let Jesus apprentice you into his perfect way as an imperfect person? That's his invitation. Now let's pray and receive it from him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for being present with us through the Holy Spirit and bringing Jesus to us as our Lord and Savior and Master. Jesus, lead us. Jesus, teach us. Holy Spirit, help us to learn and help us to go and to be shaped and reshaped. We repent of every place where we have gone a different way or gone our own way. We turn back to you. Say, Lord, lead us. Lead on. We will follow. We pray this all today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.